Please open this book to page 293. Everybody see it here?
Huh?
293. Okay, the first source here is a very famous Gemara that asks, "My Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah?" And I'll give the simplest explanation to this question is that there is a collection of holidays that is found in a Tanaic book of the time of Mishnah called Masechet Megillat Ta'anit. It lists a whole series of holidays that used to observe in the time of the Second Temple period that we no longer keep today. And it lists up some fast days, days where Jews used to commemorate tragedies with fast days. And there were many of them. Today we have a number of holidays, but we only have six fast days, but there were over 20 of them. And the Gemara already said, "Batla Megillas Tanis." We do not hold from any of the festivals in Megillas Tanis. So the question of my Hanukkah is, since Hanukkah is one of those holidays, the question then becomes, my Hanukkah, why do we still keep Hanukkah if we're not keeping those other holidays? Okay, that's all. That's all the Gemara means to say. Okay. The simple answer is because there was seen to be something that was quite miraculous in the oil lasting as long as it did. So let's not forget the miracle of the person who felt the need to hide that little cruse of oil in the first place. No one gives that person any credit, right? This famous question the Pnei Yoshua asks, but isn't there something called Tuma Hutra Betzibur? Are you familiar with this terminology? Tuma Hutra Betzibur. The problem with the Hanukkah story is that they had no oil to light the menorah, but they also had no bread to put on the shulchan. They had no wine for libations. They had no mizbeach for sacrifices. The whole number of things that they didn't have in a working form, right? Why are we only commemorating the rededication of the temple with one simple furnishing in the temple, the menorah? There are lots of things. We should eat 12 loaves of bread on Hanukkah. We should drink wine. We should pour. We should pour libations, and you know what I'm saying. There are 20 things that go on in the Beis Hamikdash. Why are we celebrating Hanukkah only regarding the lighting of the menorah? So this is part of the question. Tuma Hutra Betzibur means that if everybody is tamei, nobody's tamei. Are you familiar with the holiday that teaches us to rule? Remember Pesach, right? The people who asked Moshe, we can't make the Korban Pesach because we're Tamei. So Moshe said, okay, I'll ask God about this. And then God made a new rule. You have a do-over. You can keep Pesach a month later. But then Gemara makes a drash. This is not mashma from the simple pshat of the story in Parshas Balos. Is that this is all individuals who are Tamei. You get to do Pesach Sheni. But if the entire congregation is Tamei, and the definition of that is 51%, 50.1, 50 point anything, one more than half the amount of Jews is Tamei, and all of Israel does the Korban Pesach, it's what's called Betuma. Got it? Why? Because, listen to the words again, Tuma Hutra Betzibur. Anything that is an element of a ritual of purity, It's like a duas ex machina that we just fix it. What's the thing that fixes it? Right, remember that sits the head plate, the forehead plate, gadol, is the automatically fixes any tumah in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Pnei Yeshua asks this question: if tumah hutra betzibur, why did they have to go and wait for a miracle for this light, this menorah to last 8 days, right? And why 8? Why not 15? Why not 4? What? I mean, eight just happens to be the amount that it lasted. Another obvious question is, if you're in Jerusalem lately, been to Har Habayis, do you know that right outside Har Habayis is a famous mountain called Mount of Olives, right? Har HaZeisim. You know what they have on Har HaZeisim? Thousands of olive trees. Why didn't they just go and squeeze new oil? Were they looking for miracles with the, right? So I'd like to answer that the problem was not Tumah Dika oil. The problem was Tumah Dika people. Okay? The temple fell out of use. When the temple falls out of use, it won't take more than 30, 40, or 50 years for everyone in Israel to become tummy. Maybe not even that long. Because if someone goes to a funeral, everyone he touches, everyone that person touches, everyone's tummy mace. Right? So until they have the ashes of the Parah Aduma, the red heifer sprinkles some holy water sprinkled on them and they go to the mikveh. So everyone is going to very quickly make the whole country tummy. So the problem was that in the absence of a working temple, they didn't have these ashes to purify people. The miracle lasted just as long as they needed it to, which was 7 days in order to become pure again. And then you can go across the street and squeeze new oil. Okay. The Pnei Yehoshua also quotes a Rishon that says that the Romans chopped down the Romans, the Greeks, I'm sorry, the Greeks chopped down all the olive trees. I don't know. It's hard to fathom that they would chop down every single olive tree. And if they didn't have olives at Mount Olives, surely there are olives just nearby in Male Adumim and other places that had cities at that time. But what was the tzimis about? All right, but there's an answer you can give to the from the Lashon of the Gemara itself. Want to look inside the Gemara with me? Okay, it says My Chanukah the Tana Rabbanan. You see it, page 293. Okay. It says here that what the Greeks did to the oil. It says Mishnichnisu Yevonim Lahechal Timu Kol Hashmanim Shebahechal Timu. They made it tummy. Right? Now that is sort of a power of word, but in some versions of this Gemara, it's not timu is called Hashemen, it's shiktsu. If you hear that word, shiktsu. Shiktsu is a vodzara, yes. Tumas mace is hudra betzibu. Tumas vodzara is not. Okay, you see what I'm saying? If the Greeks made this oil impure as a site of Tikrobus of Ozaro, where they made libations out of it or something of that sort, then you don't have the Tumah Hudra V'Tzibur answer. You have to search for a different answer. Okay? Right? That, and why didn't they go just across the street and squeeze new oil from Mount Olives? Because anything they touch would become tummy. Right? Okay, I'm just explaining the miracle. Right? Now turn to page 294, please. Okay, 294 and 295. Okay, so this is the first question everybody asks in the laws of Hanukkah is, where do I light? Okay, so this book starts off with where you light in the private home. We're going to skip that because everybody here lives in an apartment building. So that you're going to skip to page 296, please. It says at the bottom of the page, where should residents of apartment buildings light? Now, if you live on the sixth floor, Howard, you live on the seventh floor? Okay. You are higher than the space the Gemara says you can light. However, the poskim have said that since across the street from you are people who are eye level to you, since across the street from you, please, John, make yourself some lunch. Since across the street from you there are people at your level, that's not a problem. Where in your house should you light? So obviously, if you're lighting in your living room, you're lighting in your counter, lighting in your kitchen, it doesn't matter how high you are. You're lighting for the people inside the house. That's the dispute today. In December, throughout most of our history, especially in the Christian world, it was not safe to let people in the Rhineland in 1100, or even in some Persian cities where in December they had special lighting fire ceremonies for Zoroaster. And it was not safe for Jews to be lighting Hanukkah candles for people outside to see. So it became very well established that we're not lighting for the people on the outside, we're lighting for the people on the inside. So there's nothing to worry about if you live on the sixth or seventh floor, right? The highest height of a menorah is 20 amos, which is really about the third floor, right? 20 amos is the highest height for a menorah, the Eruv wire, and a sukkah. All three are interconnected, okay? Those three mitzvahs should not be more than 20 amos. So if we are indeed lighting for the people on the inside, so the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says, to light near the entrance to your house, opposite the mezuzah. Okay. Now that can be very impractical depending on the nature of your apartment. So the custom, I know in my house, we just have a nice counter in the middle of inside. We don't light near the window. It's a fire hazard there. That's not a big windowsill. You find a place in your house, as long as there are at least two people, you're lighting for you and someone else. If you live alone and there's no one else in the house when you light, you should preferably light near a window where people will see it. Are the people who live across you? Right. Now, I'll admit that at the time of the Gemara, people were not used to looking 30 feet high. Yes, but now all the buildings are. Can I get you something? Waiting to see if Vivian's coming. Pardon? Vivian will be here soon.
There's bolt of lightning from
her. Okay, so that's I just tell that that's. But don't light near an open window. Don't light near a door that opens up and closes, because there's a special rule for the menorah. It's called hadloka osa mitzvah. There are four different mitzvahs for lighting. After Shabbos, before Shabbos, after Yom Kippur, and Chanukah. These are four very different mitzvahs. The mitzvah that's closest to the menorah here is Havdalah, because the din of Havdalah is p'tipidavka, light from something that involves a fire. Now, after Yom Kippur is similar. There's Havdalah with fire after Yom Kippur. But it's different than after Shabbos. You know, there's a different din. On Yom Kippur, you have to light the fire that was lit before Yom Kippur. On Shabbos, you want to light a fire that you just lit now, preferably with a match or, you know, something that you just lit now, not something that was lit from before Shabbos, and certainly during Shabbos. So because there are different reasons why we make Havdalah after Shabbos and after Yom Kippur. I'm not going to get into that now. But on Hanukkah, the din is especially to light something that is as close as possible to what we lit in the Beis HaMikdash, which means that your preferable thing to light will be olive oil. Okay? Not just any oil, but olive oil, because that's the oil they use in the Mikdash. Okay? But if you can't get olive oil or whatever, it's too expensive, whatever it is, you can use wax, you can use whatever it might be. Okay, but what do we mean by hadloka osa mitzvah? That the lighting makes the mitzvah, not the, well, at the time of your lighting, it should be in a place where the mitzvah has the potential to be fulfilled in its entirety. Don't light in one place and then bring it there. Light it where it's going to stay. And I'll give you just an example to clarify this, is that if you lit the menorah near an open window and stood there and watched the menorah to make sure it didn't extinguish, and it didn't, but in a normal wind, it should have extinguished, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Because you didn't have lakos mitzvah, you didn't light it with the potential to stay lit, right? The converse is also true. I can't imagine a case except what I'm about to tell you, is that if I lit the menorah at, let's say, 6 o'clock, And at 6:05, I got an emergency call that I had to go take care of something, right? And I went to take care of that thing, and it ended up taking me the whole night, right? And then I came back in the morning, and I can tell by the candles that remain there that they must have extinguished right after I lit them, right? Or the containers are filled with oil. Something must have blown them out, right? I fulfilled the mitzvah. Because when I lit it, it had the potential to stay lit for the full time. Only something, now, the reason why I expressed it this way, I gave you this case, is because in most cases, if you're home and you see that they extinguished, well, relight them without a bracha. Just light them again. If you're in the house and they blow out for some reason, just light them again. Got it? Talking about someone who didn't return until the next day, and then there's evidence in the menorah that they must have extinguished, right? You fulfilled your mitzvah. Why? Because again, I say the words, hadloka osa mitzvah. As soon as you lit it, that's what we say, the bracha is lahadlik ne'er shel Chanukah. So, but on Shabbos, for Shabbos, the din is just to have light. So on Shabbos, if you're the chas v'shalom, someone's in the hospital, someone's in a hotel room, then they're not going to let you light with actual fire. Just light with electric candles or something, you know, something. But those electric candles with those orange bulbs for the menorah, right? So someone asked me yesterday, he says, he asked me at a hotel and they won't let him light a menorah. Can he use such a menorah, such an electric menorah? So I told him that it's not worse than not lighting anything. It'll feel like you have some kind of menorah in there, right? But you're not accomplishing the mitzvah. So what's the eitzah? What's the eitzah if someone has to be on a plane? Someone has to be at a hotel. So you mitzaref with someone else. You give someone a quarter, a dollar, give someone some money, and you tell them this, put in a little extra oil for me. Okay? That's the best way to do it. Put in a little extra oil. You need a half hour. But now usually, whatever we get to light the menorah, except those small boxes with the colored candles, twisted candles that last about a half hour, usually what you light for the menorah lasts a good lot longer than you need. Right? Those white paraffin candles stay lit for 2.5 hours. You just need it to be lit for a half hour. Right? Someone can fulfill your mitzvah for you. It's called shlichus. They become your agent. And they light the menorah, they light in their house, fulfills your obligation, even if it's not family. Surely if it's family, your wife can have you in mind. Your brother can have you in mind. So your friend can have you in mind, right? They should just preferably add a little more to it, and you should pay for it. So you become a partner in that menorah, and you can fulfill your obligation. That's the only chance you have if you are in a plane all night. If you're in a hotel, the thing to do is to try to get to someone's house nearby that there's a menorah being lit, if there's such a thing as possible. And actually stand there while they're making the bracha and give them a quarter, a dollar or something, and take part. Okay? All right, so all of this, but it's important to point the difference with Shabbos. Shabbos is just to have only Shabbos to have light in the house. Whoever you have it. Now, since the bracha on Shabbos also has the word lahadlik in it, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, so we only make the bracha if someone's actually lighting a candle or oil or something. You know. Only make the bracha if there's actual a flame. However, one fulfills the din. Like there's a custom, if a woman didn't light Shabbos candles, she lights an extra candle for the rest of her life. That's if she didn't light anything at all. If she lit some kind of because of a chas v'shalom, a hospital stay or something, a woman gives birth, she can light those electric, you know, they actually have some, like you can see the filament, so it looks like it's some kind of flickering flame. All right. So on Shabbos that works because Shabbos the din is just not having dark. Not a din that you have to have a fire. Havdalah needs a fire. Menorah needs a fire. Okay, Shabbos doesn't.
Simplistic question, I'm sorry. I always understood that the silly little electric bulb things that they put, right, are not in any way fulfilling the mitzvah.
So of Hanukkah. That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So Charles Marlowe tells a wonderful story when he showed up, you know that story. He showed up at Mount Sinai and one of the staff came up and grabbed him and said, "We need somebody to turn the bulb." they were looking for somebody.
Right. So they felt that you know,
it needs to turn the bulb.
Right. So that would be sure it would be for the actual kindling of a fire. Yes, right. It would be the Jew to fulfill that. But since this isn't actually accomplishing anything in the halachic realm, really anyone can do it. But it's interesting that they felt that they need a Jew for it.
They needed a Jewish person.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. All right. So in the apartment buildings, I hope everything there is. And the minhag already from page 298 to 299 is that we really like for the people that are inside the house. Okay. The reason for this had to do never because of persecution. Okay, see, it says lighting inside, right? So today we're mostly lighting for the people on the inside. This might explain a pella, this Taz, the Turezav. The Taz says a pella about how Ashkenazim and Sephardim light the menorah. Mark, when you had your kids around, did each one get their own menorah?
Sorry?
When you had your kids around, each one got their own menorah, because that's Stam Ashkenazic custom. And the Sephardim light one menorah for the whole family. So what's the Pella? What's the Pella? Is that, you know, the Posek for the Rambam is the Shulchan Aruch. The Posek for the Sephardim is the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Posek for the Ashkenazim is the Ramah, Tosfos, right? Simple, right? So here is what the Gemara says. That main mitzvah of Hanukkah is one candle called Ner Ish Ubeso. Beso means that it's really the house, not even the courtyard. It's the house, in the house. Ner Ish Ubeso, one candle per family. First night, one candle. Second night, one candle. Third night, one candle. And that's the Ikur Din. Right? Now, then the Gemara says you should have another candle to be the Shamas. Really, we don't need a Shamas today. The reason is because we have probably lighting in a place where there's electricity on. Very few people light where the menorah is the only thing lit. 800 years ago, your menorah was the only thing lit at in your house at night. Maybe you were rich enough to afford two or three candles to stay lit for someone to learn late at night, but you couldn't afford that. So now we have electricity on. You don't need. We have much better than the Shamas. You don't want, because also the shtamesh la'ora, you don't want to have just the four candles for the fourth night or the one candle for the Neri Shabeso. You don't want to have just one, the menorah candle lit with nothing else.
How else would you like to have a candle?
But they would use something to light, but they didn't want to use a whole candle just for nothing, you know. They didn't have to. But
in my family, we used to actually, for a kid, they would blow out the Shamas as soon as they left.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, because you have electricity. Electricity is your Shamas.
Right.
Right? Okay. So the...
Actually, specifically, you make sure that you set the light on.
Yeah, because if the only light on in the room is the menorah, and then you just walk by, you're getting hanah from it.
Right.
It's not bumping into a table.
More candles, you have one time. You have four candles.
Right, because you can say it's the fourth night of Hanukkah. I have four candles. Yeah, but I'm keeping Neri Shubeso and the extra candle. No, but when you light four candles, you mean for that to be your mitzvah, and then it becomes Asur Lishtamesh Bo.
Right, that's
how
we typically, my father brought
it out. Okay. All right, so that's the Ikur Din one candle. Then Mahadrin is one for each member of the family. So if you have eight members of the family, and the Stam custom in Israel is husband and wife equals one. Every other child is another one. Okay. The wife has to light the menorah as much as the husband. Maybe she could light some, I don't know, but the husband and wife equals one menorah, then the children, each child gets their own menorah. Right? But that's Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. The Mahadrin Din is one each night of Chanukah per member of the family. There are 8 people in your family. First night 8, second night 8, third night 8, fourth night 8. Okay, got it? Then that's what Mahadrin. Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is where you not only connect to the amount of people in the house, but you connect to the night of Chanukah day. Now, the Rambam takes that to mean everybody gets their own menorah. Right? Because let's say you have 4 people in your household. Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin would mean 32 the first night. I'm sorry. 4 the first night, 8 the second night, 12 the third night, 32 the eighth night. Right? Someone is looking at 32 candles, he's not going to know if it's 4 people in his household and it's the eighth night of Hanukkah. There are 8 people in this household and it's the fourth night of Hanukkah. Are there 16 people in this household and it's the second night of Hanukkah? Are there 2 people on the... All right, so you get what I'm saying? So because of this, Tosfos says it's better that you just light one menorah for the whole household. One menorah for everybody in the household, because there is a premium on knowing what night of Hanukkah it is when you could look at everyone's menorah. So here's the pentazim. Why does the nazim light the menorah today the way the Rambam says to light it, each person their own menorah, and Sfardim light like Tosfos, who says one menorah per family? Why did we switch over? He says he looked throughout Jewish customs and he didn't find any such example that was so stark as to have Ashkenazim and Sfardim switch over, like, you know, like Ephraim and Menashe, where the Ashkenazim act like the Rambam and the Sfardim act like Tosfos. Okay. So the Taz just leaves it as a pele. It just leaves, I don't know what to say. I'll give you a quick answer, quickly, the answer that the Aruch HaShulchan gives, with the caveat that it's important to recognize that the Rambam's work is meant to be a pure halachic work. What should you do in practice? Tosfos's work, although there is something called Piskei HaTosfos at the end of every Masechta, which is the Jewish law that emerges from Tosfos literature, right? So, but in its core, Tosfos was an explanation of the Gemara. In its core, Tosfos, like Rashi, was meant to explain the Gemara, elucidate contradictions, and be like the next generation Rashi. Okay, the decision to put Tosfos and Rashi on the page of the Gemara and not the Rosh and the Rif or the Ran, you know what I'm saying, was a monumental decision, and it revolutionized the study of the Talmud. In other words, the first thing you want to do when you study Talmud is to understand the simple pshat of the Gemara, not necessarily the halachic conclusion of the Gemara, right? Which is an important element unto itself. But don't look at the Rambam and the Rosh until you've done Rashi. The page of the Gemara has to have understand the Gemara, then you can get to the Rosh. Don't become a paskenyak, right? Okay, clear? Tosfos, therefore, becomes like a metzias of the Gemara. The Gemara says that you should light the menorah by your doorpost, outside. Right? My kids in Israel light outside their door. Right? Now, there's a problem if you light outside your door.
But people have like a support for the menorah, so it's protected from the wind.
Yes, yes. It's like in a box, in a glass box. It's a problem, for instance, where my kids live. They live in a small, like a garden apartment system, but they're like 4 or 5 residents in the same place. The entrance to the house is going to have quite a few menorahs, especially if you're lighting one for each child in the family, right? So you're going to light 10 menorahs? If you're lighting inside the house, then each person can light in their own distinct place with something called a menorah, and everyone can look at each menorah in a different place and see, oh, okay, that's fourth night of Hanukkah. There are 10 people in this family. I see 40 lights. I know what night of Hanukkah is. It's not the eighth night and five people in the family. It's not the fifth night and eight people in the family. I see what it is. But if you have to light at the front door, you're only going to want to light one menorah. So between the Ashkenazim and Sephardim, I sort of hinted at this before, it was the Sephardim who were able to light at the door. There's nothing inhibiting Jews living in Arab lands from lighting a candle in December. First of all, the lands were all right, it could get windy there, but it was largely more hospitable in a place like Tunisia, or Egypt, or even Morocco, or Iraq, Iran. For a Jew to light in a place, so it was more convenient for a Jew living in Arab lands to find a place outdoors to light. So the Jews living amongst the Sephardim were lighting like Tosfos because they could light at the entrance of the door where it was only shayach to light one menorah. Because otherwise they're all going to get mixed up because it's all in the same one place. But the Ashkenazim turned out to be lighting in practice. Practice for them became like the Rambam. Because the Rambam said that everyone should light their own menorah. So you see, if you're just lighting like Mahadrin, first, I have eight people in my family. First night, eight candles. Second night, eight candles. Third night, eight candles. Fourth night, eight candles. Fifth night, eight candles. No one's going to know what night of Hanukkah it is by seeing how many candles there are. They'll guess at the size of the family lighting, right? Since we have established, according to the Gemara, that there is a premium on looking at a menorah and knowing what night of Hanukkah it is, how much miracle was left, how much miracle has transpired. So as such, the Ashkenazim, right, who had to light indoors because Ashkenazim were living mostly in Christian lands, and two reasons in the Christian lands why lighting the menorah outdoors was not feasible. One, at the end of December, the Christians weren't letting Jews light, perform public mitzvahs. And two, the lands where the Christians were living in December were freezing, and it wasn't hospitable to light a menorah out there. But the Jews living in Sephardic lands, December was okay for both those reasons. The Muslims had no trouble with lighting a menorah outside, and it was more hospitable to do so, like in Israel now. So this was the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation for why Ashkenazim light the menorah the way the Rambam says, and Sephardim light the menorah the way Tosfos. Usually Ashkenazim follow Tosfos, and Sephardim follow the Rambam. Okay, everybody include that? All right, so that is on page 300. Okay, where it says lighting inside. And that is pretty much the minimum. I have no intention in the shir to change your custom. If you've been lighting on the inside of your house in a particular place, by all means continue to do so. The only thing I would tell you is that if you're lighting alone, it should either have someone else mitzdarif with you, and to be with you, or light by the window. Okay.
Were and to, supposed to light by the window? Aren't you always supposed to light by
Ashkenazim the window? Were already for a long time ago lighting inside because of the dangers I just mentioned. So as long as there is what's called persume nisa, that the person lighting has at least one other person taking part, looking to be a spouse, it could be anyone, but there's another person not lighting for yourself. If you're by yourself, then you should light preferably by window at a time where people are still walking in the street, which gets us to our next topic. The terminology in the Gemara, ad shetich l'regel min ashuk, serves two purposes. One, it tells us how long we have to light, and two, how long the menorah should stay lit. Terms of the time of the Gemara. The Gemara concluded that from the time of Shkia, where people started leaving their businesses, right, to the time where the walkers are no longer walking in the marketplace, was a total of a half hour. So that teaches us that the menorah should stay lit for at least a half hour. Okay, at least should have the potential to stay lit for a half hour. Now on Friday night, when we have to light pretty early, right? For instance, Shkia this Friday night is about 4:30. The time to light candles, the Rav Moshe says, is a half hour after Shkia, 5:00. The candles are supposed to stay lit for a half hour, 5:30. Right? So that means that whenever we light the candles before we bench left, before we accept Shabbos, so we light the Chanukah menorah before we accept Shabbos, it has to stay lit long enough for that half hour after the time we were supposed to. We can't light when we're supposed to. Shabbos already. There's that. That's the topic. Now, you can light before you light the Shabbos candles, but not before Plag HaMincha. And no one, that is not happening to anybody. Plag HaMincha is a halachic determination that in some cases be considered the following night, in order the new day, right? What cases would that be? If someone asks you what night of the Omer is it tonight, right? If it's after Plag HaMincha, don't say what number it is tonight. Say what number it was yesterday. But if it's before Plag HaMincha, Plag HaMincha is the earliest you can take in Shabbos. No, because if you would say it at 2:00 in the afternoon, someone says, what night of the Omer is tonight? And you said, tonight is the 17th of the Omer. It doesn't mean you couldn't fulfill your obligation at 2:00 in the afternoon. So the only time you shouldn't say what night tonight is at a time where you could fulfill your obligation, even b'di'evet, which is only after Plag HaMincha. There's another din like this. Some people say, don't say good Shabbos after Plag HaMincha, if you haven't daven Mincha yet. Since you can take in Shabbos, like we do routinely in the summertime, right? Plag HaMincha in the summer gets as late as about 7:00, like 2-3 minutes to 7 in New York City. So on those days, you shouldn't say good Shabbos after Plag HaMincha, because it's like you took in Shabbos and then you can't daven Mincha anymore.
Yeah, but the complaint is about really not,
Kalashabbos. Yeah, so if when you say good Shabbos, you have in mind I'm Kalashabbos,
no,
that's
fine.
That's fine. Yeah. So that's why some people say, have you heard this? A good and Erev Shabbos. Have you heard that? A good and Erev Shabbos. They say it so that they could say goodbye, but they don't want to say good Shabbos because they're afraid that maybe they're taking Shabbos. But it's amaratzis if you say it in the morning.
Right.
It's only after you could take in Shabbos. It's only after you could light the menorah that you can.
So light. You could light it as early as
Plag HaMincha.
But you thought they'd have until Plag HaMincha.
Correct. So for New York City, that's about an hour and a half. A little more than an hour and a half.
Before candle lighting?
No, an hour and a half of a candle staying lit altogether.
Oh.
No, you light 10 minutes before candle light. It's fine. Just a few minutes before candle light. It's okay. All right?
Yeah, all right, so who would light an hour and a half before?
No, an hour and a half. No, I didn't. The candle has to stay lit an hour and a half. Even maybe less, an hour and 15 minutes, depending on how early you're able to light. Okay. By us, we sing on Eretz Halo, we sing Lo Sur, and then I have to get to Shul. So by us, we're lighting at about 4:00, maybe even earlier. Plag HaMincha now is about 3:20. Okay, so now lighting above 20 amos, we really touched upon this already. Today, hardly anybody is lighting below 20 amos. Eliamos is the second floor. If you live above the second floor, how are you lighting the menorah? The answer is someone across from you sees it. Or you're lighting for inside. Okay, so that's really nothing to talk about there. Okay, the proper time for lighting Hanukkah candles. So in a place like New York City, that is quite an enhanced time. Remember, this is a city that never sleeps. Okay, does it have to be Jews walking in the street? Well, there is always someone walking in the street here. But do you have all night? Look, the Mishnah says the mitzvahs that we do at night can be done all night. However, there are some mitzvahs that we say do it before midnight. Davening Maariv, did anybody say counting the Omer, right? And plus, these are rabbinic mitzvahs. One thing if it's a Torah mitzvah.
But also the purpose is presumed beneath at a certain point, you're just not going to be there. So you can't do it at 2 in the morning, even though it's at night.
Right. What's interesting is that the menorah has a halacha that is shared only by making a Seder in the following way. If you want to do any mitzvah, like you want to buy a lulav and an esrog, but you just can't afford it, the benchmark of what you can and can't afford, I'm going to get to another time. All right, it's at chomesh, right? For 20% of your asset. But let's say getting this the money together for an esrog is just overtaxing for you. You're pater. Try to borrow it from someone, try to shake someone else's, but if you can't do it, you can't do it. You don't have to expend yourself that far. You don't have to borrow money to do any mitzvah, except two. The four cups at Pesach Seder to get wine, and the Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah. Right? And it's interesting, the Hiddur mitzvah of Chanukah is in the wicks and the oil, not in the menorah. Right? And you can turn over a tuna can and melt a candle on top and that's your menorah. But you know what? People think they get, some sofer said he got a silver menorah, he was very proud. If getting the menorah accentuates your mitzvah and makes you feel better about the mitzvah, I told him, no, do so.
I understand well for the Shabbos candle. I just want, because I don't have a way to get the Shabbos candle.
Yeah.
I just
it's fine. And it keeps it safe too.
What?
Probably keeps it safe.
Yeah, it's not raised up.
Okay. All right, so this din of expending yourself from the menorah has a special reason. Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. Where if you really want to wear tefillin, you really want to shake a lulav nesrog, you really want to do a certain mitzvah, but you can't afford it. Okay, God looks into your heart and he says, I imagine it that you, as if though you did the mitzvah. Okay, your heart is very, very, very pure. And I give you all the credit for wearing tefillin because that's, isn't that what's important, right? So he says, no, I'll do the mitzvah, but I just can't. So okay, next time try a little harder, but right now I imagine as if you did the mitzvah. But you see, when the mitzvah is persume nisa, your good intentions to light the menorah doesn't do anything for the person in the street who doesn't see it. Okay, how dalkosas fit into that is, someone can fulfill dalkosas all alone. I mean, you just have to, it's better when you're with someone else, you can ask each other questions and learn. Right. But you certainly can fulfill the din of Dalat Kosas alone.
Right. But a good intent is that if you're going to have an Aber,
correct. Right. Doesn't count. Missed it. So that's why but it's interesting is that the expression, the glimo dal kaspoi that the Rambam uses, you have to sell the shirt off your back to get the Hanukkah candles, right? And that's probably a small little expenditure. Tefillin is probably costs 100 times more than a few Hanukkah candles. Even as it may, this explains the special din of presume nisa, that you have to make go the extra mile to do anything that's Pesumenis, right? Okay, so Pesumenis on Purim is Mistama the Suda, maybe? Right. So I it's a good question because, you know, Pesach has a Pesumenisa aspect. In Stama, we can say every holiday should have some kind of Pesumenisa aspect. Right? But these are the only two that the Rambam mentions, the four cups on Pesach and the Chanukah menorah. Okay. All right, let's take a look at page 306 where he discusses the latest time to light the menorah. You go to a wedding, you have traffic on the way home. So the Gemara says, this is source number 29. The Gemara said that when people are no longer walking out in the marketplace, right, then your time is finished. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he says here, I'm going to read it here. Well, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you got home very late, even past midnight, he says, b'dieved, you can light it all night. Okay. Well, it certainly is going to be okay in New York City, because New York City, the city never sleeps here. Okay. And look at the Ramah, number 31. Ramah says it quite clearly. Right, is that since today we're lighting people inside, right? Here, Yesh Omrim, Shibizman Azesh, Shemadlikim Bifnim, ain't Sarach Lizar Lahad Bikodim, Shetech Leregim and Ashok. Okay, we come to Lizar Gambizman Azesh, because there's three mitzvahs. So some people say since today we're largely for the people inside the house, so we don't have to worry about what time it is. You're in the house. You're lighting for the people in the house. Okay? But again, like I said before, if you're lighting above the second floor, you should make sure that there's one other person in the house. Don't do this alone. Okay? Now, page 308 and 309 is what we did already. These are cases where the person has to light and plug a mincha. And yours, it's in 308 and 309 is what we have. Here it's 310 and 311. Okay. So lighting from Plaga Mincha. And the definition of Plaga Mincha at this time of year is just about an hour. Okay. The halachic definition of an hour is daylight divided by 12. So that in the summertime, an hour has 75 minutes. In winter time, an hour has 45 minutes. Okay, Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter before sunset. So an hour and a quarter of 45 minute hours is going to be a little less than an hour. Okay?
Do you mind questions from Demi's?
No, please ask.
Understand. I mean, I know the days are shorter in the winter, but it's still 24 hours in a day. So I'm
in 24 hours that make up a day, on 2 days a year, those are evenly divided. That's known as the equinox. But on other days, the days are skewed, longer in both directions, which makes it 12 hours, 13 hours, 14. The days can get up to 15 hours long of the daylight.
Oh, okay, the daylight
hours. So it's daylight hours divided by 12 is the halachic definition of an hour.
Oh.
So this, you know, this helps us understand things like the last time to say Kriyat Shema, the last time to daven, right, the earliest time to daven mincha, you know, and the halachic definition of plaga mincha. Why is it? Because according to one opinion in the Gemara, after what's called plag hamincha, you couldn't bring the afternoon sacrifice anymore. You could already start doing the workings that are known as mariv. So if you can't daven mincha anymore, it means that the day is over already. So the day's over already, then I can light the Omer for tomorrow. I can make Shabbos for tomorrow. I can light the menorah for tomorrow. But yeah, because the sun is still shining in the sky. Right? Plag HaMincha, at this time of year, is about an hour before sunset. In the summer, Plag HaMincha could be an hour and 45 minutes before Mincha, before Shkia. An hour and a half. Right? You know, it could be quite a bit of time. Okay. All right, so according to this, you can light b'di'evit, but the obvious thing you all know what you must do is leave enough oil or make sure the candle will stay lit long enough for the requisite half hour if it would have been lit after, at its proper time.
But if you can do it, so if you plug, you can do it, it doesn't go, you don't have to do it, just half an hour.
Yeah, it should be a half hour from the time that you normally would have done it.
You can light Hanukkah candles before Jarek on a weekday if you think that you might not be available.
Just make sure that it lasts longer. And it would last a half hour from the time that you should have lit it. Okay. All right. Okay, so...
I'm actually pretty long.
Yeah, we said.
No, winter. That's winter.
Yeah, it's been an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have this. We have some extra davening. Of course, we have Hallel. We have Anisim. So let's get up for it. And it's this Sunday night. Is the first night. Okay. There are a few minhagim about eating oily foods because of the oil. That's where you get the donuts and the latkes. But okay, so be it. There was a miracle at 770 last year. They brought in enough vodka for 8 nights and it lasted 1 night. The Lubavitchers like to light in public and make a display of it, but there's no fulfillment of the menorah in public. Nor is there fulfillment of shul for that matter.
Right. How can we say with a bracha?
The same reason why we say a bracha at Kiddush Friday night, even when no one's yotze, if no one's sleeping there. It's like a din in the tzibur. Right. And the Rav was very mocked with it. If you light the menorah in shul, you should make Kiddush on Friday night.
We never said about that.
Oh, you didn't make Kiddush?
No. Nobody was doing it.
Yeah.
He's very, very mocky about Bracha.
And Rob was very, very careful about not taking advantage and just, well, why shouldn't I? You know, make it. No, you just go and knock on God's door and say, "Here, God, here I am. I'm already ready to." You know, you need some terim and permission.
So you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah outside. Is it what you just said?
Right, fulfill it outside your house.
What if you're Sephardi?
You, oh no, in your courtyard, yes. I'm talking about in the park. I'm talking about in on 72nd Street.
What's the whole public thing about sticking menorahs up on every?
Just to let people see the mitzvah. They know that no one's fulfilling the actual obligation. I don't think when they light like in 72nd Street and Broadway, I don't think they say Hashem's name.
What's the reason for that?
Just to get the word out. Just to get the word out, just so Jews can see and feel proud.
So what is the reason?
Oh, tonight is Hanukkah. Oh, maybe I'll stop off Westside Judea and get myself a menorah.
And then they light it with their friend or with their friend, and they decide to light in the park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that wouldn't.
You never know it's going to set people a lot up.
Yeah.
One of those clothes like that can...
Do you know why that's not okay?
What, to light in the park?
Okay.
Because it's ner ish ubeso.
Okay. That's like the
it's your house. Yeah.
But they think they often don't do it on time, or they'll do it early, and then they don't sell it, don't agree. They're not being outside, it's like a candle. They have a reason.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you very much, Carol.